I'm pretty sure by 282 we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that.
Oh, really? You're keeping it real for 282.
I feel like we could do better than that.
Okay, go.
No, like you could do better. I have done better until now.
Okay, all right. Go.
Are you saying go to yourself?
No, I'm saying it to you.
No, I know when to go.
Okay.
No, I've done this. I'm a professional.
All right, go.
No, I'm set.
Okay.
This is you. You're the one who has to go, and nobody else go to themselves. Although that would be awesome at every street light that you stop at a red light and it goes green and you just yell, go! I would love, with the windows down.
It's better than singing to yourself.
Do it. I don't know. You couldn't get a better ending to that? I feel like the visual of me yelling go at a stoplight was good, and then
singing. No, I think that's where it should end.
Singing to yourself.
No, I think you could just end it at the visual of you yelling go to yourself.
Ha 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 ha. Poverty. That's how you ended it. Hello and welcome to episode 282 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam
in Port Townsend. No.
New Brunswick?
Where? No, I don't know. I don't know where's Port Townsend. It seemed like a place.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a place. There probably is a place somewhere.
There's like nine of them, I'm sure. I think it's probably one in Australia. But you're not there. You're in Vancouver.
That's right.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Nothing. No, nothing's going on.
Weather. We talk about the weather all the time. Are our expectations too high of spring?
Yeah, around here it sucks.
we had some nice weather today. Went to the pool today, yesterday, and finally. But it's like, oh, come on! It's already the end of May. Shouldn't we be shouldn't it be 40 degrees?
Yeah, we had our May in April, and now May is February.
Okay.
So there. Yeah. You can decode that, right, with your magic descrambler ring or something?
Yeah, or just my head.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I figured out exactly what you meant.
Great.
It's like we're speaking shorthand.
Okay, then.
Amazon. When you want to buy your rain jackets, your May rain jackets, get them on Amazon, click through our site.
Okay, I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, or just stay in the house when it rains and buy stuff on Amazon, I guess. Is it that cold? Are you not wanting to leave the house?
No, it's not that cold. Okay. It's just overcast every day.
Gotcha.
And then it just all of a sudden, like, I just dropped my kids off at school, and then torrential downpour, like, just all of a sudden out of the blue for, like, 10 minutes, and then, back to just gray again.
Gotcha.
So there's been that. All right. I mean, it's we certainly need rain here because it's been a drought for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not really getting that. We're just getting kind of blah every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sound like you're playing grunge music in Seattle.
No, you but right? I am going to a Whistler this weekend. But I'll have already been by the time this gets aired. I'll be back home. But
what you doing? Whistler this what, weekend. What are you doing in Whistler?
Just
in the
just
summer, going, are you going just glacier skiing?
No, we're going adulting. We're going basically away from our children for a weekend. We haven't done that for a while. So that's what we're doing. We're going with another couple and we're just going for an adult weekend getaway. So it doesn't matter what we do.
That's where I actually got to know you, was an adult weekend in Whistler many years pre-kids.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Way back in the day.
So this is a sequel to that,
but with better actors.
Yeah, and with more mature adults.
That's hard. That's not hard to do. Yeah, there was an incident.
Yeah.
Good. That sounds great. So you need to do some outdoor stuff. What I'm saying is, are you going to take pictures of some outdoorsy stuff?
Maybe. I'm going to bring the 5D Classic mm-hmm. and 85mm lens, and that's it.
And just hang around the hot tub.
Yeah, and just, yeah, exactly. Take pictures of whatever I see. No, I'm going to bring it. I don't know how many photos I'll take, but plan to go up the mountain. Like, there's the gondolas to go up the mountain and do some, you know, some walks around the, mm-hmm. the top of the mountain. And so
there's bears there.
And if the opportunity presents itself, then a couple of pictures. But nothing needs to be captured, and that's why I'm bringing the 5D Classic, because, I don't mind leaving it around and not worrying about it.
You have a polarizer, correct?
I do. I do have a polarizer for that lens.
For that lens, you might want to throw it in the bag. That might be a great, great time to use that.
Okay, I will. It doesn't take up any room at all, and I'm just bringing the little camera bag, and like you say, just the camera and the one lens, so I have no problem fitting in a polarizer.
Do it. Cause
I don't know where I'm going to see much blue up there. I mean, maybe if we get above the clouds, because it's the weather forecast for this weekend is more just terrible, mm-hmm. so we'll see. If it's pouring all weekend, then the camera might never come out of the bag, so.
Okay, gamble.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take it anyways.
Great. Look forward to hearing about that.
Okay.
Sad news.
Uh-oh.
Strange news. Well, no, nothing personal. I mean, I guess it is personal. If you're Canadian, it's personal. Gord Downie. Wow.
Yeah, I heard about that.
For those of you who aren't Canadian, you probably have no clue who we're talking about.
Yeah, Tragically Hip.
Lead singer of the Tragically Hip. Canada's band, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a few artists that you would associate with Canada.
Celine Dion.
Anne Murray. Hardcore Logo, if we're naming a few. Snow Axe. But the Hip is kind of like, I would say, the most prolific. Like, they just have so many hits and so many songs that when they come on the radio, you leave it on. And it's such a part of being Canadian and growing up Canadian, what for me was the Tragically Hip was always there.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, he just announced that he has, I guess they're saying, inoperable brain cancer.
Yeah, that's apparently the deal.
But, I mean, so they're doing a final tour, or not, I don't know, final tour, they're doing another tour this summer across Canada. So get your tickets now, evidently.
Okay.
That's what I recommend to you. But that's sad news indeed. And if I understand correctly, and I'm not a doctor, I think it's pretty much the same tumor that the sidekick from the Corolla show, Bald Brian, has.
Okay.
And he was given, you know, 4 months to live 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I speak on behalf of the rest of Canada saying, you know, we're hopeful that that's the case with Mr. Downie, whom I've never met. I don't generally comment on these sorts of celebrity things, but because he's such a, you know, like a personal, such a part of our personal experience in Canada that it hit hard to a lot of people. So get better.
Gord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully he leads, you know, you get the idea. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay, great.
Camera rumors.
Okay.
We don't get into these ever.
Right.
Because generally I don't care.
Okay, but you care about this, whatever this is.
I might care about this.
Invisible camera for real coming to a store near you.
Yes. No, the Canon 5D Mark IV has been rumored for this summer.
That seems quick.
It does, but when you go back, I guess the Mark III has actually been around for quite some time.
What, 2 years?
I think it's probably 3.5.
No, yeah. Really?
I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't remember paying attention.
I don't feel like it's been that long, but I lose track of time.
Well, I bought my Mark...
It could be 20 years for all I know, yeah.
Well, that would be excessive. But my Mark II, I think I bought 6 years ago. Would have been 2010, and it probably came out in 2009. Or maybe I bought it in 2009. That sounds like... No, I think it was the summer of 2010, and it had been out for a year at that point. Are you still there?
Yeah, okay. I'm listening. You deliberate over what year you bought something.
Yeah, well, I'm trying... You started this, kind of. Okay, the Mark II came out in 2008. So that's over 8 years ago, or 8 years ago, I suppose. And the Mark III, let's find out. Let's just go ahead and Google that and find out when it was released, because it seems like it could be coming. March 2012, so 4 years.
Wow.
That's the 5D Mark III. So, yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably due. Anyways.
But really, is it due?
In terms of what for photography, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, what doesn't it do? It made me breakfast yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bangers and mash.
And I don't even have one.
It's not even out yet. It was just rumored breakfast. I came downstairs and said to my wife, I heard a rumor there's some breakfast down here. No, that's vaporware, man. But for me, I like the 5D Mark II in terms of video. You know, I'm going to shoot with it next month on a cool job, but some of the stuff that's announced with the Mark IV might be kind of cool.
Okay, let's hear it.
Now, these are rumors.
I don't know anything about any of this, so go ahead.
Now, the one that I could care really very little about is 4K capability, which I'll be surprised if it doesn't have.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. But and I would actually probably use it. I think we're just, you know, what's a nice way to put it? I don't want to curse on the show. So we're just kind of it doesn't need to happen. 1080p is awesome. The end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I mean, 4K is probably helpful, and then maybe you need 4.5K. What about 5K? What about 4.5K? What about that?
24K.
24K. Yeah, 1M. Who wants an M? That's cool. But there's talk that in 1080p mode, in regular full HD, it'll handle up to 120 frames per second.
Okay.
That's
you
cool.
might use that.
I could see myself using that for a variety of things. Like, and basically that's 5x slow motion. So what that is essentially, if you're shooting 24 frames per second like film, but then you shoot at 120 frames per second, play it back at 24 frames per second, you're playing it at 1/5 the speed, yet there's no stutter. That's actually true slow motion.
Right.
Looks awesome. Because back in the old days when we wanted to shoot slow motion on like 16mm or film, you basically had to ramp up the speed of that film, like how fast it would go through. Normally it goes 24 frames per second. You would then double it to 48 frames per second, and when it played back, it would just look, it'd be half speed, and it would look fantastic. Just amazing. But you eat way more film.
Mm-hmm.
Just as in this case, you're going to eat way more your memory card space, but who cares? You can reuse that.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be kind of cool. That's kind of nice. Now, there's probably some other things coming, like a Digic 4, 5, 6 processor. I don't care. I don't care about any of that. I'm really happy with mine. What I would like to see, and I haven't been keeping up, so I don't know, is proper time code, like a free run time code based on just on the time, the actual time of day that's baked in, and the ability to jam sync, which means what you would do is you take all your devices, like if you're shooting with two cameras and a separate sound recorder, which is kind of the preferred way to go, you would basically connect them all together with a cable or possibly wireless at this point, and they would sync up to the exact frame. So all three time codes or multiple devices, all the time codes would be identical.
I see, yeah.
Which means later, and you can stop and start, and the time
but
code...
But now aren't you more into a video camera than you are a camera?
Yeah, but I don't think it's that difficult to do.
But I know, but the features that you're talking about, like these are much more film oriented as opposed to still photography.
Correct.
So do you think that's their emphasis? Is that who they're pitching this to?
I'm just saying that's what I'd like to see.
No, I know, but I'm asking a serious question. Do you think that that's who their market is? Who is their market for this camera?
I would assume it's rich guys and filmmakers. Like basically with the 5D Mark II is awesome. I love shooting with it. A major, major, like really huge fly in the ointment for me to shoot by myself, because I shoot by myself all the time, or quite often, is the inability to have proper time code, because I'm starting and stopping. Like, if I'm going to shoot something, run and gun, run around, just shoot really fast, I'm going to turn the audio recorder on and let it go. Just let it run for an hour and not turn it off. And my wireless mics will feed into it, and then later on I'll be starting and stopping the video and have to sort of manually sync it up later. And if I can, you know, use a clapboard, great, or have the actor clap their hands, I can at least get it close to sync, you know, sync it up in post. But if those time codes match, that job is already done. So your life is much easier. And for independent, like low budget filmmakers, this would be amazing to be able to do this.
And so you, but you're not sure if this is a part of it or not.
I haven't bothered to read the literature on the rumors.
Okay, I got you. So you're hopeful.
Hopeful. If that's the case, if that's the case, if it does show up that way, then there's a pretty good chance I'll buy one in the probably 6 months after it comes out, but not right away. But after 6 months or so, I'll probably upgrade.
Cool.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did.
Good.
We made a trip to Playland. So
all right.
I did. I shot some photos from Playland. So that was fun.
Now, this is pre-P&E.
Pre-P&E. This is just like the rides, like basically whatever your local ride amusement park is. This is our version. And if you've been a longtime listener of this show, then probably heard me talk about this in the past. So I don't need to go into huge detail as far as what Playland is, but basically a small amusement park that we have in Vancouver. And last weekend we took the kids, and they each took a friend with them. And we took four kids, and it was great fun, and got some photos of the kids with their friends enjoying the rides at Playland. So some real great just kind of shots on the rides, huge grins, big looks of surprise, like the kind of, again, the sort of fly on the wall stuff that I really like.
Now, how was the weather there?
Overcast.
Wonderful. That's why I asked, though, because that's for Playland, that's pretty much ideal.
Yeah, because we went we went all day, but for the most part, you know, sun would be overhead, and so you would get lots of, you know, harsh contrast and shadows, and you know, it would be definitely tough sledding for a lot of the situations with the rides and, you know, the overhangs and all that. So definitely made it much easier to get good photos. And when I saw that it was overcast and I saw the forecast, that's what made me bring the camera. I don't think I would have brought it if it was going to be a sunshiny day. Just the pictures would have been terrible. So.
And what did you bring for camera?
5D and the 70-200.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was it. And yeah, I got lots of good photos because I haven't asked anybody for permission. I haven't posted any of them yet. I will try to do that. I don't think anybody would have a problem with me posting some of the photos, but I don't have specific permission.
Does anybody ever ask your permission?
Nope.
No. And yet they post.
Yep.
I don't make
If I send people photos, they do. Part of it is I don't care, but I don't know if everyone else is the same way. Mm-hmm. And one out of those, I don't know, 20 people might have a huge problem with it, and I just don't want to take that chance.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
There you go. Awesome.
It's a respect thing when you're dealing with other people's kids, too. It's just it's a respect thing.
Listen up, everybody. It's respect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Photo challenge. We did evening light was the plan this week. I say the plan because you did not have evening light.
Did not.
I mean, not the good stuff that we're talking about. This was inspired by the photo I took of my son last week, you know, playing in the wonderful evening glow. Really just fantastic. The light wrapped around. There were slashes of light. There were dark shadows. But yet they weren't gone to black. It was really ideal. And I said, you know what? This is my favorite. And it's smooth sailing from here on in, Adam.
Yes.
Let's do it. And then for us, no real evening light.
Correct.
For you, like, I mean, here in Germany and where you are in Vancouver, it just was... Oddly, as we're recording this, it's 20 after 6 on a Friday, we're about to get some nice evening light in the next 90 minutes.
Beautiful.
Too late. Too late for me. However, you made the most of it. Now, I thought my worst case scenario was if I didn't get something reasonable, I was going to have to fake it. And that would be, you know, you get a flash and a CTO. And kind of, I did not want to do that.
No.
No. So here, let's have a look at your photo, the guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. What's his name again?
Jeff Goldblum.
No.
Oh, it's the new guy. Chris something.
I can't remember the name.
Guardians of the Galaxy guy.
Sure.
I don't know. Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, that's the guy. So yeah, he happened to be at the ball field last night.
Okay.
So I snapped his photo. Yeah. No, I basically, this was last chance for hoping for some evening light. It was very cloudy at the ballpark and baseball was just ending. And so I'd brought my camera just again, hoping I was going to get something. And, all of a sudden, you know, after hours of clouds, the sun broke through and there was some evening light. And I said, quickly, let's go run out to where, the light was coming through. Cause it was, you know, in the evening it was after 7 o'clock. And so it was just coming in over, there's really tall trees where we were. So there was light coming through in the 13 seconds that it took us to walk out there, gone and never to reappear. So we waited for about, I don't know, 15 minutes. Jack played at the park. We're waiting. I'm like, okay, it's going to come back. There's enough wind. The clouds are going to... No, never happened. So then I just gave up and snapped the overcast shot that you see before you of my father, Richard Attenborough. That's the name, right?
Yeah.
Richard Attenborough, standing in front of some trees. So that's the 5D Classic with the 70 to 200 lens, that combination that I've been loving so much. And... I mean, it's almost like a big softbox, what you see. Like the sun is low and camera right, and it's basically through some clouds. So you do get a little bit of extra light on one side of his face. It's not completely flat, but it certainly isn't the evening light that I was hoping for.
Not for what we're talking about, although a reasonably good photo. I mean,
yeah,
great
decent,
photo,
yeah.
Like decent photo.
Decent, yeah. Let's call it decent. I'm not gonna put this on a pedestal or anything.
No, much. I mean, and once again, for the effort required, fantastic and much better than you were taking 4 years ago or whatever.
Yes,
it would say. My only sort of criticism about this photo is something that I've been doing a lot of myself, and I try to get away from.
Okay,
is at 200 at the full end of this lens at f/4.
Yeah.
With a very distant background, it goes out of focus quite a lot.
Right.
To the point that really it was very little, except for the time involved, very little stopping you from just green screening this and putting a plate background in.
Right.
And I do this a lot where it sort of could look Photoshopped, like really good Photoshop, but it could look Photoshopped. And so I've been trying to focus on kind of creating a little, like in the depth of field, have the depth of field kind of go out of focus a little more gradually. Meaning have some middle background and distant background, just to sort of give the illusion that I didn't actually Photoshop this.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. So that, again, I run into this a lot, and I try to be very conscious of it. In fact, the reason I chose the background I did for the photo I posted last week of me and the guy Alex, that were the straight out of Canada shot, I purposely chose one with a tree fallen in the background, just so it provided that sort of depth. Right. Otherwise, it really could have looked Photoshopped. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at mine. This was a bike ride home in the evening. I hadn't brought my camera though. So my wife was riding with my daughter. I had my son in the bike trailer. And at one point, partway home, I decided, this is going to be my only chance to get an evening photo. So I said, okay, you guys kind of slow it down. I'm going to race home and then race back, to this spot here and snap her photo riding her bike.
Okay.
And as we were going, the evening, just like yourself, the evening light was great. I grabbed the camera, boom, in come the clouds. And so this, rather than be that beautiful kind of fading evening golden light, it's, you know, relative softbox as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Still looks more evening light than mine does anyways. Evening-ish. Or did you just bump up the saturation?
All those things.
Yeah, just to try to make it look more evening light.
Figure out, like, you start naming stuff, I did it to this photo.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the background and then definitely all the light on the grass, like it's too even.
Yes.
Yeah, far too even. But when I first just looked at the photo quickly, I was like, oh, that's the right kind of golden light. And but then, yeah, when I look at the ground and look for shadows or anything, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a little bit of trickery going on.
There's a little bit of trickery. Now, it starts with white balance, first of all.
Yeah.
Like, so I shot this with the 5D Classic on a 50mm lens because that was the camera that was sitting on my desk when I sprinted in the door. And that's what I wanted to shoot with anyway. So I grabbed that, ran out, and went basically, you know, I went a little deep in the weeds there just so I can get some foreground, middle ground, background. That was my plan. I knew that going in, that's what I wanted to shoot. I wanted to shoot here. And, so snap this, and basically in terms of post-processing, shot it at 5,000 of the daylight setting or whatever that is, and then but ramped that up. Like went to like 6,000 or something like that, 5,800.
Yeah, to make for like sort of that orangey glow.
Just to add a little tint to it. And I kind of toyed with, you know, with adding a little orange to the highlights and some blue to the shadows, but then I didn't like it, and so I pulled that out. Added a little contrast, bumped the saturation, the vibrance, the clarity, the sliders you normally go with.
Mm-hmm.
Threw a graduated filter on the sky. So that I could increase the contrast and lower the exposure a little bit just to make those clouds pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's kind of actually what was happening. Like what we end up getting here around this time of year, it's kind of like being up in the interior in Kelowna or whatnot, where it's sort of when on a hot day, when evening rolls around, you get those thunderstorms. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what was happening here. And so I kind of bumped that up a little bit. And that's about it. And that's kind of what made this photo look a little more evening light.
Mm-hmm. When I looked at it on my mobile device, on my phone quickly, then I thought, wow, you got evening light. But now that I'm looking at it on my computer screen, I can definitely see how I was fooled.
Yeah, and I will go back and shoot this again. But next time I will get a little further back. I'll probably use a little wider lens because it's such a great landscape. I would actually like for her to be much smaller in this photo.
So I'll
probably take the 17 to 40, shoot it somewhere around the 17 to 20 mil range, and just really include a lot of the landscape just to show it, you know, how wide it is and how small she is in that landscape. But
okay, still a good photo though. I like it.
I'm not going to cry about it. This topic this week, I talked yesterday with Don Komarechka, friend of the show, hasn't been on in a while, as he mentioned. We've been dodging them.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true at all. So Don announced that he is soon to be a father.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did we know this or no?
No, we didn't know this.
Okay.
I didn't know this.
That was my gasp. Can't believe it.
Yeah, so he wanted to come on before that happened in June and talk about, you know, a few things. And I think he actually wanted some advice from me about, you know, how to be a dad and take pictures. You too, but you weren't around.
Right.
So we talk a little bit about that. If you want to go find out exactly, if you don't know who Don is, if you listen to the show, you've heard him many times on here before, but check him out at doncom.ca, and we'll put a link to that on our site. But without further ado, here is Don Komarechka.
Hey, Alan, you're a dad, right? From one photographer dad to another, please school me on what I should do.
That's the show, then. Let's do it. In fact,
right.
We've already started. How about that?
Perfect.
Good. And, you're listening to Don. I introduced you on the show. That's what everybody knows, Don. Hello, Don.
Hello, Alan. It's great to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Nothing personal, just scheduling.
Oh, sure. You say that now politely.
Well, yeah, of course. No, it's great to have you back. And, well, you share the good news.
Yeah, so my wife and I are expecting a child, a baby girl, we know, and her name is going to be Danica, and the due date is right around the corner. We're recording this end of May, and we're due June 12th, so it can literally be any day now, and so yeah. It's very exciting for us.
That is that any day part, especially on your first, too. It's like, wow.
You know, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it, and we're trying to be prepared. Like, we got the bags sitting next to the front door and the car seats ready to go and everything. I know that there's no such thing as being prepared for it in this sort of scenario. It's just, it's gonna be what it is, and it's gonna be wonderful. That moment, that night when we go home and we've got a baby, that's gonna be a game changer. That's life will change. That's, I think, the moment where it's gonna really sink in.
Is that where you're gonna start? It's. I'll start with the advice. I'll give out all the parenting advice that you want.
First thing, or that I don't know that I need. Yeah,
you do need it. Here's the best parenting advice in general I can give. Not photo related, just in general. Is everybody else's advice is nonsense.
Okay.
Ignore everybody's advice. They don't know what they're talking about. And the second bit of advice that you should not ignore is when your kid has a nap, don't be quiet.
Okay.
I don't know if they put that in the books or not, but if you have to tiptoe around your kid, that's it. You're in for a lifetime of tiptoeing.
This is important. Yeah. That is incredibly valuable. So
we know people who won't run the coffee maker when the coffee grinder when their kids I can't do it. The kid's napping. No, you do it. We did it, and it's terrible for the first couple times because the kid will wake up. After that, you're golden.
All right. I would not have thought of this. Mm-hmm. And so you are probably saving me a lot of frustration. I appreciate that.
Okay. The rest of it is just, hey, get used to it.
Yeah. Just kind of wing it. You know, there's no real rhyme or reason. I mean, you can read all the books and you can follow all the advice of the professionals, but you know, what do you mean?
Guy.
Like a professional? What? It's like, you're a parent. You just get thrown into scenarios that are just there and you deal with it. And the interesting thing though is, of course, I don't usually photograph people. I've got a feeling that I am going to be taking a lot of pictures of a very small person in the next little while.
A lot of macro shots.
Well, I mean, they're a small, maybe not that small, but it's kind of a fun thing. You know, a couple of years ago, I just about sold my 50mm lens because I don't really use it at all. But I kept it around. It was collecting dust. And I'm thinking, I am so happy that I kept that kicking around because it's going to get a lot of mileage on it in the next little while.
That is the go-to lens. In fact, I think that's what I took to the hospital both times. Both times I took the hospital the 5D Mark II because it had video, and I knew I would shoot some video, and the 50mm. That's all I needed because obviously I had other things going on. You know, my wife was having a kid each time.
Imagine that.
And that was my focus.
Exactly. And so I'm thinking I'm going to bring the camera. It's going to just kind of be one lens in the bag and it's just going to sit in the corner until the time is right, you know, when baby's in the arms and what have you. And the 50mm lens is the lens that's going to come. No need for anything else.
No, you know, because you don't want to bring a flash. You don't want to be that guy.
No. It's just when the moment is right, you take the picture, then the camera goes away and you're back into the moment.
It's funny you should say that when the moment is right. This is actually some honest advice that I give to everybody, is do it when the moment is wrong too, for real. I'm not joking. It sounds like I'm kidding. But I know we've talked about it on our show before, like a Christmas episode or something like that is my kids were both delivered via C-section, pretty much an emergency C-section. It wasn't the plan. My wife was very upset by this. Especially the second time around, she was very upset, and she was sitting there at the hospital, you know, kind of really rattled and breaking down. And I snapped a photo of that moment, and I'm glad I did. It's one of my favorite photos. I don't share it with anybody else, of course, but it's for us. It's a great moment because, you know, she was very, very upset by, you know, she wasn't going to experience this thing. But then, you know, later on, she looks back at it and sees, you know, like, you know, we have our son. I mean, our son is amazing to us, at least. And it kind of offsets these negative times, like these bad times. And it's nice that we have that moment captured.
Sure. So long as you can survive the wrath of capturing that moment to begin with.
You can. You can. She'll stick with you. It is like, I don't know, my wife understood. I don't know if she understood right at that moment, but she kind of trusts me that I wouldn't do something sort of gratuitous or really offside. But in those moments, there are little moments that, because everything does, you know, it takes forever, but it goes by so fast. It's one of those weird things that you kind of want to capture the little moments, like what do you want?
The things that you would otherwise forget, you know, a week, a month, a year later, but the photo bringing you right back to that moment carries a lot of emotional response with it. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely want to do that too. In fact, I was thinking, because I've just got my new camera, the 1DX Mark II, which shoots 4K video. And I was thinking of doing just like maybe a minute of video when everybody is, again, comfortable. Mm-hmm. But then maybe, you know, I've seen projects before where, you know, take a few seconds of video every day of the baby, and you can put that together into something interesting. If you're going to have the camera out to take a picture anyhow, why not shoot a little bit of video? Mm-hmm. And then that can be kind of sliced together in a nice little memento video project that comes in real handy later in life, for sure.
Uh-huh. So you're pre-manufacturing the nostalgia.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's what we do. I admit, I mean, when I was there, I mean, okay, obviously when you're at the hospital, like, you're not out in the lobby handing out cigars, you know, like the old days.
Did anybody ever actually do that?
I'm assuming.
I mean, I've seen it in videos and stuff.
Yeah, no, I was involved the whole time. And even with the emergency C-section, I scrubbed up and I was in the room and all that. And so I didn't bring the camera then, obviously. But after that, like, there are times where, yeah, you want to be present, you know, and not snapping photos. Like, this is really one of those times where you want to balance exactly correctly. But there are moments.
Oh, and I don't think there's any way for you to prepare for exactly what that balance is going to be. It's just when the moment comes, you know, the camera is at the ready, and you take the pictures that are deserving to be taken. And but, you know, it's funny because once that moment is over and you've got the pictures and you've got the baby in your arms, I mean, what happens then, Alan? I mean, there's going to be a crying, screaming child at, you know, various hours throughout the night that's going to be keeping me awake. And I've booked the entire month of June off, you know, so there's I know my wife, she's on maternity leave for a year and all of that, but you know, I've got to be there and I've got to be supportive. But again, you know, there's going to be lots of those trying moments where, you know, this is stressful and awkward, and you know, what the heck do we do? And that, I think, is something that fades away over time. That I'm assuming here. I've never gone through this process, but you forget about those things. I think it would be really fun to have some images, like you'd mentioned, of those sort of wrong time ideas. And as we've been having this conversation, a bunch of ideas have popped into my head that would be a lot of fun to put together in both photo and video form. You know, years later, it's like you said, manufacturing nostalgia.
I do have a lot of photos of my kids crying. In fact, my son, just the other day, he's two and a little bit, two and a half almost. He crashed his bike. And hit his face on the pavement, of course. And once I realized he was okay and Mama was cleaning him up, I got my camera and photographed his bloody shirt and you know, because there was a lot of blood. And I posted it. And because it is one of those moments that once I saw he had all his teeth, that was okay. Okay, now I can shoot this.
And even if he doesn't, he'll get new ones later.
As a guy who has false teeth, you don't want false teeth.
No. I'm saying, you know, yeah, your adult teeth come in at a later point, right? It's not like you're completely scarred for life. There is a point of recovery some point down the road. So long as you walk away with your life and all of your limbs, I think you're pretty good.
That's true. That is true. That's one way to look at it. But no, honestly, the way I sort of looked at things, and this was from the beginning, it's good and bad, is that, you know, like you're overwhelmed, like holy, am I going to be able to do this, or how am I going to be able to do this? There's 7 billion people almost on the planet.
I think we've passed that marker a while back.
Okay, so 7 billion. That means you can handle it. Like you're a smart
everybody
guy.
Everybody else can.
Yes, you're a smart guy. You'll handle it. You know, and on the other hand, the perspective I kind of put in, you know, I tried to bring in was there's 7 billion people on the planet. So I'm not going to be the guy who thinks, you know, his kid is the greatest. Internally, I do. I love my kids, you know, and I photograph them as such. And with the first kid, my daughter, a lot more photos than the second kid. Because I just looking back a couple years later, it was like, wow, I really didn't need all of those, you know.
Yeah.
And that was after cutting them down. And I thought, well, I got like 5 pictures of this. But, you know, you there are certain shots that you do want. And especially at the at the hospital, like when you're there and when you're leaving, because like for us, because we had a C-section, we couldn't leave like that day or the next day. It was a couple of days in the hospital, which is kind of a weird thing, like for me, and then going down there and that. And here's the fun part. When you do finally go home, that is when it gets real. Like, okay, well, to the nurses, hey, are you guys not coming? It's just me. It's just what happens. What happens next? Like when, you know, when the baby wants to eat and all those things, which you will get over it. But what you'll find out is, I found out later, they don't tell you this. This happens to a lot of people. It's a very, very emotional for the mom. That moment that you're about to leave, you're going to buckle your baby into your car seat, which I'm assuming you bought the car seat.
Oh, yeah, and the little thing that it rests in is already installed in the car, and so we're...
Yep. The first time you buckle your kid into the car seat is when it becomes real, and that's when the emotions really flew. Like, my wife was a mess, and I thought, oh, okay, I did not expect this, but we got a nice picture of us leaving the hospital, and then that first day, I had friends in from Canada. It was 3 days after my daughter was born, but the day we went home, I had friends in from Canada, and I said, oh yeah, we'll go into town and, you know, go have a beer and catch up. I haven't seen the guy in 10 years. Little did I know that my wife was going to be an emotional mess.
And what are you going to do in that scenario? You know, you just deal with it.
Luckily her friend came over but now I knew better next time. I said, well, I will not schedule anything. But now the photography part.
Well, I was thinking, you know, if I should I like invest in like some cute hats and a wicker basket and like stage some newborn pictures?
I didn't. I don't really miss them.
All right. Well, I mean, you don't miss what you don't have, I guess. But
it's true. It's true. But I look back and I see other people's pictures and think, yeah, like those are good. Like those look, they look very nice, like very great exposure, great lighting. But, and this is just my own personal preference, my kid doesn't live in a pumpkin or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know.
This is true. I would not go overboard with it, but at least having something, you know, somewhat staged, you know, so long as the baby's cooperative, just once. And I'm not going to go overboard. I just want to have something of, okay, here is a welcome to the world image that I can sort of share, you know, maybe send out some prints to close family and what have you, just to say, hey, you know what? Announcing the baby, here it is.
Oh, and we did that. We definitely did that. I didn't buy any wicker baskets or funny hats or anything like that, though. We had, you know, like sheets or something like that that we made into some sort of background. We definitely did stage something and try to get the baby to cooperate. And if the baby doesn't cooperate, then you shoot their feet. That's the move.
Right.
That's what I found. You get nice. Everyone likes the cute baby feet, and that's the one you end up having to send out if the baby won't, you know, make, you know, help you out.
Right. And so, I mean, and where do we go from there, Alan?
Well, that's the thing is what I found was, I made sure I had a camera always out, like on the kitchen table or wherever it is, because you do not know when things are going to happen. I mean, for the first couple of weeks and months, the baby doesn't do a whole lot. You know, cry, sleep, eat, you know, fill his diaper. That's the good part. But there'll be all these little moments that just pop up that you won't have time to run into your office to grab your camera. So it's nice to, even if you have a beater, if you buy an old 40D or something, just keep it out. And that's a good
point. Yeah.
Not just keep it out. Once the kid gets a little bit older, you know, one or two, and you start going to the pool, that's where I really like to get great photos. And that's why I take my 40D, because I don't really care what happens to it. If I drop it in the pool, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll replace it with something of sort of equal vintage, I'm sure. But it's not going to be like, oh, my God, my professional career has just, you know, my insurance claim is going to kill me here and et cetera. So, no, I get that. And, you know, I think that as photographers, we overvalue the digital SLRs and undervalue the cell phones. But heck, if I'm out for a walk and I don't have my camera with me, well, then my cell phone becomes that camera that I can use in that instant. Because even if, yeah, the camera's on the kitchen table, but I'm at the park. So there it is.
Yes. See, I don't have a cell phone, so I don't have that luxury. But I always make sure. I mean, I don't always make sure. I've toned it down. Like, we took the kids to the pool, outdoor pool today, didn't bring a camera. So I don't do it every time, but sometimes I will definitely, you know, bring it to make sure I get some great photos. But especially in the early days when you know, the first couple of years really, which sounds like a long time, you want something kicking around that is always out and you can always just take with you at a moment's notice. And it's great to have those, you know, those little sort of in-between moment images, because being a photographer, you're already miles, miles ahead of most of your friends with their baby pictures.
Yeah, they'll be envious, I guess, to some degree. And then I do not want to get the requests to say, hey, you know, Don, you've taken great pictures of your daughter. Can you take pictures of my kids? No.
You know, it's funny.
So it's a thin line I have to walk to say, okay, I want to show off these great pictures, but I'm not interested in photographing people except for my kid.
Nor can you really, because it's funny, because actually next week's show, when you're listening to this, next week we're going to talk about doing candid sessions. I interviewed Amber Hughes about doing actual candid sessions, because people for a long time have said the same thing to me, like, oh man, I just love the pictures of your kids, and you know, I'd like you to come and take pictures of mine, which I will do, except I can't do that because my camera is here, and so as soon as the kid is ready or does something, I'm ready to go.
Yep.
But I can't come to your house and live there for a week hoping to get three good photos. That's a little cost prohibitive. And so that's what I, you know, I encourage people listening to our show to get better at taking their own pictures for that kind of thing, because when the opportunity presents itself, you want to be ready. You can't stage 99% of the photos that I take of my kids. You can't do it.
Yeah, it's instantaneous. Like, the moment is there, you take the picture, and then the moment is gone. It's not anything that could possibly be planned.
No. No, or replicated. I mean, even if you try to force steer the kid in that direction, it's not likely going to happen. And so that's why it's always handy to have it. I always like to have a prime lens on there. I'm not a zoom guy, but have a prime lens so that if it does happen in low light, you can shoot it at f1.8 really quickly, f1.4. You're going to get your image. It's not always going to be the best lit image, but it will be a great photograph of your kid doing something spontaneous.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking, I've got the 50mm prime, and I'm thinking that's probably going to be the best option. I know that that Adam likes the 35 Sigma, I think he's got, and he's gotten a lot of mileage out of that.
We both had the 30mm Sigma.
The 30, okay.
On the crop sensor. I still have mine on my 40D, which I use all the time. I think he sold his finally. But that was.
And then what do you think about going for like an 85 or 100 millimeter lens for that sort of stuff? I mean, when they're a baby, like, it doesn't really matter. It's not like you are trying to compress the facial features to make them look more beautiful with a telephoto lens, et cetera. I don't think that really comes into the equation. But I guess it's sort of a, because of the instantaneousness of you know, baby pictures and all that sort of stuff, it would be a wider angle would be preferred, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm a three camera guy. I have my workhorse that I use, you know, for jobs. It's still the 5D Mark II, still pretty old, but does exactly what I need it to do. And I use that quite a fair bit. But I also have my 40D, which the 30mm is just pretty much glued on there. And that's my kind of walking around camera and in that situation. On my 5D Classic, the 85mm f1.8 is pretty much glued onto that camera. And so, yeah, I shoot a lot of people pictures and I shot a lot of kid pictures with that 85mm.
Right.
So I do recommend getting that because, like, you're not thinking about compressing facial features, but it just, everything looks great. Like, you start narrowing your background and focusing on the kid, and depth of field falls off really quickly. You end up getting great results, especially for things that you're not going to light. That does come in very, very handy. But, you know, you start shooting with that, then all of a sudden you want a wide shot. Well, then you grab the other camera. That's where, I guess, zooms come in. But, again, I'm not a zoom guy, so I pretty much pick a horse and stick with it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like primes more than anything else. You know, best of exactly what it's supposed to be doing. And you know, the 50mm that I have, the f1.4 from Canon, it's not the best lens. There's a lot of optical flaws in it. But you know, to me, for the kind of work that I would do, if I'm concerned about the optical flaws of the lens, I've taken a bad picture to begin with.
Yeah, I love that lens. I mean, I know, you know, I'd like to own the 1.2, same as everybody else, but really, in terms of what you pay, what is it, under $400, I think, for that lens?
Yeah.
Ballpark. Yeah. Awesome. Great lens. Highly recommend it. I love mine. I shoot with it all the time. And I have a lot of baby pictures with it. A lot of movies of my kid. Because even though I have cinema lenses, I have specific movie lenses, which are great for shooting video. Not great for shooting stills.
Yeah, aren't those lenses like ridiculously expensive though?
No, you can get what are they called? Rokinon?
Oh, that's right. They've got a line of cinema lenses too, right?
Which I love. And those are the ones I have. I have the 35 and the 85. And I just absolutely love those lenses, but not really good for shooting stills because no autofocus. And so it's really tough with the prism in the DSLRs aren't really designed for autofocus, so for manual focus, so you kind of need the autofocus. And
yeah, you know, and I had, what was it? I was shooting a wedding. I was just a relative of mine, and so I was in attendance. But I had with me the 85 f1.2, mm-hmm. and I could not get focus using the viewfinder. I would switch it to live view and zoom in on things and find the critical focus that way.
Yeah.
When I had the opportunity to do it. But man, the viewfinder, when you have open apertures that wide, it's impossible to get it right.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. So I found that like I would shoot with the 50mm because handheld, I can hand hold it, you know, relatively, you know, well enough that it doesn't, you know, bounce around. I still get the action with my kid. It's great in low light, and I can snap photos in between if I want. So if we're going to go ice skating, for example, for the first time, I take my 5D Mark II and the 50mm, and that's that. I don't take the whole bag, just that, and I can shoot video, I can shoot stills, almost at the same time.
Very cool.
And I didn't think I would care too much about the videos, but my wife loves them, especially 5 years on. We had our daughter 5 years ago, and when we look at some of the home movies from back then, like even the first couple of years, it's like we're really glad we have those movies.
Yeah, and like I've got one that my dad had taken of me when I was 2 or 3 years old. He was repairing a high-end broadcast Betamax camera at his work, and so he had a weekend for him to sort of play with it and test it. And that weekend, he shot like home movies of me on like professional Betamax cameras. And so now we've got like this like really awesome shot of me like just playing in the backyard with a hose. But the point is that if I didn't have that, I would feel like I've lost something. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to look back and see those, and especially many, many years down the road.
Yes. Yep, that's for sure. Other than that, you're going to do just fine.
I hope so. I'm sure I'll report back with the most wonderful stories of chaos and frustration.
And some photos, of course.
And some photos shortly thereafter. So maybe you'll have to have me back on, Alan.
No question. Of course. Well, Don, good luck to you and your wife.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you with the chaos that surrounds you every day.
It's getting less and less. It's all good now. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And let me tell you this. Let me like you. There's no way you'll keep this in perspective. There's no possible way. But you'll as soon as you have one kid, as soon as you have your kid, you'll have a bunch of people telling you, "Oh yeah, wait till you have two kids." These people are jerks, Don. However, they're 100% right.
All right.
One kid is no kid. Once you have two, life changes. That's when the sleep disappears. Because right now, you can do for the first month, you can do the tag team.
I've heard horror stories of people that have twins and they're like on a 3-hour cycle, but they're opposite. You have no sleep. There's, you know, one's up and then, you know, by the time the feeding is done, then the other one is awake. And at least we don't have to deal with that. We've got one coming at a time. But that's a little significance when there's a short time period between them. And so we might have another. It all depends on how the first one goes.
Are you going to change diapers?
Of course I am.
Oh, don't say of course. Not everybody does. Now, here's my last bit of advice before we sign off. Never, ever, ever play diaper chicken with your wife. Where it's, it's your turn. Oh, go to your mother. Or, go see your dad. You know, don't do it. If you're holding if you're holding the kid, it's now your turn. Don't do the turns. Just always take it because in the long run, you'll appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. Well, that is wisdom that sounds like it was learned the hard way.
No. From day one, I knew I wasn't going to do that. I was going to be, all right, it's my turn. If I'm holding the kid, it's my turn. That's how it goes.
All right. Well, we will delegate the diaper duty to whoever is holding the child. That is now set in stone. Thank you, Alan.
All right. Glad I could be of help. All right, thanks again, Don. Don, where can people find you and your snowflakes and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of the summer, so snowflakes are out of season right now. But check me out at doncom.ca. That's my portfolio of all of my stuff. And, you know, I'm actually going to be coming out with another book at some point very soon, an ebook this time, on infrared photography. That will be published through Craft and Vision sometime in the second half of this year.
And check it out. He's got diapers to pay for, so...
Check out
that book and follow him on Twitter. I think you do the Twitter, right?
I do Twitter. Yeah, I do everything. I find that Facebook, Google+, and Twitter are where I get the most responses, and you'll get a quick response from me faster there than anywhere else.
All right, check them out. All right, thanks again, Don.
Thanks, Alan.
And we're back.
Wow, great advice.
Triplets. No. That was wow. My advice was run.
Yes.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Where's he gonna find all his time to do snowflakes when he's changing dirty diapers?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of macro shots of the kid's hands. That's what we're gonna get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my infrared
awesome.
Baby.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure he'll rise to the challenge and get some great photos that he said he would share with us. So,
okay.
Photo challenge for next week.
I'm guessing you have one.
Candid.
Okay.
That's it. And I bet you that ties into our topic next week.
Okay.
Adam, where can people find your stuff?
They can find it at adamschwartz.ca and also at the Two Hosers Facebook page.
Yes. Find mine at alanattridge.com or twohosers.com where you can find all the links and photos and everything we just talked about. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.